Hello, and welcome to the Jolly Heretic. Now, one of the complications of being one of the old content creators is that in a world of Keir Starmer being Prime Minister, in a world of this dictatorial Labour government, in a world of this utter chaos combined with mendacity, you can't really have a holiday because the country, Britain, is falling apart. Britain is increasingly becoming a failed state, a dictatorship, a tyranny, and British people have increasingly, it seems, had enough of it. And I don't think, I know that there are these people like AA that think that nothing good will ever happen, but I think they're wrong. I don't think that the British people are prepared to tolerate this much longer. People are, nothing works, people, nothing, the social contract is broken, nobody can get a bloody doctor's appointment, nobody can get a bloody house, everybody knows why, and yet the government are doing absolutely nothing to rectify this situation, despite what they may say, and they are simply trying to repress those who are upset about the consequences of it. It's extraordinary. So that's what I want to look at today, what this means for the last week in the UK up to the 4th of August, what this means for the future. And what I think it augurs is some kind of mini revolution or some kind of reaction, much as we got in 1979 when the country was in complete chaos due to socialism and due to the trade unions and their power. But before I do that, could you do me a favour? Could you please subscribe? Could you subscribe on here on YouTube? Could you leave a like for the algorithm? Could you press the bell, whatever that is, and share the video and all this stuff. And could you subscribe to my Substack? That's jollyheretic.com, where I put in-person interviews, I put vlogs, I put stuff I can't put on YouTube, I put all kinds of interesting malarkey, where if you like what I do, you can support with the cost of just a pint of beer a month. Okay, back to the video. So I thought I'd go on holiday, chaps. I thought I'd go to Montenegro on holiday. And Montenegro was interesting, because it's an absolutely awful country to live in, and therefore it's the future of the UK if things don't change based on current demographics. It is a country where I thought I could tick a couple more countries off the list, maybe. I could go to Bosnia. I could go to Serbia, Kosovo anyway. But unfortunately, trips that are said to take half an hour, according to their schedules, take 2 hours. 3 hours, because it is so chaotic. The roads are so chaotic. The roads are not maintained. The traffic lights fail. Everything goes wrong. And so you can't make predictions. You can't make predictions about the time that you will arrive in a country like Montenegro. It's just chaos. And therefore, people are unhappy and people are stressed. And what you see, because they are stressed, they do things like push in queues. They're corrupt. They'll lie to you about if you get used. They'll say, oh yeah, there'll be an English language tour guide, and there isn't. Oh yeah, it'll take 3 hours to get there. It takes five, just because they're desperate to get money. I met a woman who was a university lecturer, but her salary is so insufficient that in the holidays she moonlights as a tour guide. And it's an appalling, awful place to live. Salaries are a quarter of what they are in the UK, and the price of food is about the same. It's a terrible place to live. Nothing works, and everyone's extremely annoyed all the time. Although it is monoracial, it should be said. But that's Montenegro. Now, Britain has imposed these problems on itself, and we all know why. And I find it amazing what has transpired just in the last week. And the fact that so much has transpired tells us that this country, Britain, is on the brink. It's on the brink. It's on the edge. You have a system that is extremely overstretched and is extremely delicate for that reason, extremely fragile. And it really is only going to take one major significant spark to get to a point where the police are overwhelmed, where there are not enough police officers. If you have people protesting in pretty much every city against illegal migration of people that behave in certain unacceptable ways towards girls, if you have combined with people being furious about the fact they can't get appointments at the doctors because of these, because there's too many people in the country. They can't get appointments at the hospital, or they have to wait for hours and hours and hours. It used to be 3 hours 20 years ago. That was the wait, 23 hours. It's now 5 hours. I wonder why. That they're not training enough doctors, so they import them from abroad, and there are lower levels of competence. It all builds up to a situation where the government cannot control what is going on, like in South Africa. And when the government cannot control what is going on, then people, you have a vacuum, you have a power vacuum, and people simply step in. Or they break away. This has been reported in the last week. Far-right groups buying up land in Wales, and far-right groups buying up land in Arkansas. They break away. Or they simply take control of certain areas. In a vacuum, certain people of a certain psychology will see a niche, they will take control, they will be the warlords, the de facto rulers. This has happened in much of South Africa, where private security firms have simply come in, and that is effectively the government. And the government itself, the legal government of South Africa, is too weak and incompetent to actually challenge these people that have done this. And so then you get parallel sources of power, or different sources of power, and the breakup of the country. Now, it's perfectly conceivable that this is what could happen. First of all, they are repressing the ability, they are doing these terrible things out of fear. An example is Lucy Connolly being jailed for a tweet. Why was she jailed? An example had to be made of her because it was concerned that if that kind of sort of inflammatory rhetoric was allowed to spread, then there would be a snowball effect. Well, that's a very bad metaphor for things that are inflammatory. A firestorm effect, that's better. A firestorm effect, and things would get out of control. So to nip this in the bud, I'm making my metaphors again. They had to make an example of various people that put out tweets. And but worse than that, then a teacher at Preston College was fired for a very, very reasonable tweet, in which he said that Lucy Connolly shouldn't have said things like that. It was inflammatory. It was out of order. It was too much. She shouldn't have said those things. It was wrong. However, I think the punishment has been rather punitive. And for that, for saying she got 31 months, when people that are found guilty of statutory rape have been sentenced to less than that, or served less than that, he was fired. And this, that's in itself, people would unfortunately accept that because they're cowards. But taken together with what's happening at the same time, and this has been the last week, it's when it all happens at the same time, that's when governments lose control. At the same time, then, you have a cover-up in Nuneaton of a 12-year-old girl who was raped by a boat migrant, and who tried to strangle her. And the police covered this up for the sake of public order, and of course it came out and there were protests and all this sort of thing. You then have, in the last week, last weekend, this huge, huge march in Manchester, which the media have barely reported on, absolutely huge march, in which the anti-British people, the Stand Up Against Racism people, or whatever it's called, Stand Against Fascism, those people were a tiny kettle little group compared to the huge mass of people that were prepared to go and march against this and risk the consequences, by the way, of being filmed doing it by the traitors, and risk these films going online and risk their jobs. And they were prepared to do it out of total desperation. Thousands of people, clearly, marching on the streets, such that the mainstream papers didn't even dare report it in many cases, or hardly reported this huge thing, because they're just overwhelmed by the fact that the British people have had enough to such an extent that they almost feel they have nothing to lose and they don't care. And you'd have to feel that to take part in a march like that, because of course the far left will photograph you and send your photo and find out who you are and send your photograph to your employer. But the problem was that there was just so many of them, and due to the risk of violence, because tensions are so high, the police were forced to keep the Stand Up Against Racism and the Patriots far apart. because people don't care anymore. And there is also an awareness. I was watching Charlie Veach's video about this, and he just said, screw it, I'm going to march with these people. I don't care what you say. There is an awareness that it's something that happens unconsciously. It's something that happens gradually. A good example of it is when people started booing Ceausescu when he was on the stage and in Bucharest, and that was the end of it. It was over then. They no longer feared him. There is a gradual understanding from talking to other people, and I suspect this is why they want to try and shut down pubs. A gradual understanding from talking to other people agree with you and will back you up and are no longer frightened. And when that reaches the tipping point, then people don't care anymore about the consequences. They know they'll be backed up. They feel emboldened. Hope Not Hate are right about this. People on the right increasingly do feel emboldened to say whatever they like, to say things they daren't say in the past, and that they can't say on YouTube, but they can, of course, say on Twitter. And therefore, they are particularly scared that their power will be lost, that they will be removed, that they will be perhaps even severely punished for their treason. And this point has evidently been reached, and you can see it every day on Twitter that people are, once things shift to the right, you get competitive right-wingness signalling. Just as you once got competitive, you still get competitive left-wingness signalling when things are left-wing. And people are pushing it further and further and further and saying things that even 20 years ago you wouldn't have said with regard to migration. You just wouldn't have said, talking about certain things. Again, I can't talk about here. So this is showing you that this shift is happening and that the delicate infrastructure is falling apart and there's very, very little they can do. So they covered this up. As I say, and people are furious about it. Obviously, the health system is completely screwed at the same time. At the same time this has happened, you have Heathrow, a competence crisis, because they overpromote people on the basis of certain DEI characteristics rather than intelligence, and also because intelligence is in decline in Britain by about a point per decade. We keep having these insane collapses at places like Heathrow. This happened while I was away. You then have trains have just been halved in the UK because it's too hot. It's too hot. Well, why is it that other hot countries like Spain are able to maintain their trains even in the heat? If it snows in Britain, everything comes to a halt. Well, why is it that countries like Finland are able to maintain their trains even in the snow? In minus 25, minus 30, there are no delays. Because Britain doesn't have the infrastructure to deal with things, because Britain isn't planning for the future, because Britain isn't intelligent enough, because Britain overpromotes imbeciles for political reasons, and so nothing works. And so therefore the whole point, the whole social contract, the whole system is that the government is a protection racket. The government extracts resources from you forcibly. And in return, the government gives you, with that money, with your money, the government protects you, which it is not doing because it is letting in certain kinds of young men with certain inclinations. And the government is not protecting you, and the government provides you with excellent services in terms of schools. No, it's indoctrinating your kids. It's letting them become narcissists with anti-bullying policies. It's exposing them to indoctrination with disgusting ideas. No, okay, the government gives you healthcare. No, you have to wait 5 hours or whatever it is to see at A&E. You have to wait months to see a doctor. It's not giving you that. The government gives you nothing in return for your money. The government gives that money to its client people who are part of its coalition who back it up, such that you get investigated for the things that you write that might be upsetting to those people. So again, this is another example of the whole system breaking down. What have we had while I've been away in a Canary Wharf at this Britannia Hotel? We've had a case of lots of women in pink, far-right thugs. Lots of women in pink doing the hokey-cokey and protesting against this appalling situation where these people have been moved to this, what is it? Is it a five-star hotel or four-star hotel? I forget which, but it's certainly a particularly high standard of hotel. Now, you'd think they would get the message then. You would think that the anger is quite clear. We better not do anything else to provoke them. we're at boiling point here. But the problem is the police aren't very intelligent. I mean, policemen have an average IQ. I'm sure there are some policemen that are very intelligent. There are the ones that become inspectors and stuff, the Inspector Wexford types. But the average Bobby is the kind of person that will say things like, Hamas is a terrorist organisation. Well, it's your opinion it's a terrorist organisation. Well, it's a fact it's a terrorist organisation. Well, it's your opinion that it's a fact. I mean, absurd things like this. Stupid people. So, stupid traitors to the country. And so these people then allow a Deliveroo driver under police escort to bring food to the hotel at the taxpayer's expense. They can't even be buggered to go out and get the food and bring it back. No, they pay a Deliveroo driver, who may well be an illegal immigrant himself, to come in on a motorbike and deliver, presumably pizzas, you know, takeaways, expensive food to these people who are in the country illegally, in their very expensive hotel. I mean, it's absolute madness. And then, while I've been away, there was the case in Nuneaton of a girl that was abducted and a girl that was raped, and they tried to strangle her. Then, of course, further than that, there was a kidnapping in Stockport. This has come to light. A 10-year-old girl was kidnapped in Stockport by a Sudanese man called Edris Abdelraziz. This is why I'm dressed on like this, by the way, in honour of him. And again, they attempted to cover this up. It's every day there is something as a consequence of there being so many of these people who are on a bell curve and who have an extreme of that bell curve. And when you have enough of them, you're going to see numerous cases of the manifestation of the extreme of that bell curve. And that is what is happening, and that is what we are seeing. And it has reached breaking point. And then there was a case in Wigan of a man that was involved in a protest outside the Britannia Hotel there, which of course houses these illegal immigrants, and he's died in police custody. Now, he's died in police custody, it seems, because of a drug overdose. But that's... so what? They should have made absolutely sure that didn't happen, because it's very, very bad optics for them in light of everything else they're doing to suppress the British people. And then, of course, the worst thing of all is that at the protest at the Britannia Hotel in Canary Wharf, you had this protest by mainly, as far as I could see, ladies in pink. And a few people turned up and misbehaved. And so they used part of a 2001 Act of Parliament to disperse the crowd and tell them that none of them, presumably they've all been filmed, that none of them could come back within 28 days. And if they did, they'd be arrested. And they chose a time when it was pissing down with rain to do this, to say, right, it's raining very, very heavily. Go away from the shelter of the hotel in the pouring rain. And they indeed, there was an Asian officer who was filmed saying to a father and his 10-year-old son, who weren't even protesting, they were just there to watch, you must go now or you will be arrested under whatever Act of Parliament this was, and you must go immediately, and you must not come back for 28 days. He is stating this to them. And then the police put out a press release saying the only people who have been barred from coming back within 28 days are the people that were causing disorder and everybody else can come back. It's a complete lie. So either the press release is a lie or the officer on the scene was lying. One or the other. Undermining all trust in the police. As if there was any trust already. And that's just a week. A week is a long time in politics, they used to say. Well, a week is a long time in Britain under Keir Starmer in summer 2025. And I can't see how this won't get worse. I can't see how this won't spread. They will use the powers that they have put in by the anti-democratic Blair regime to stop protests. But these protests are likely, people will need to vent. These protests were likely to manifest somehow, because it's got to a point where people feel their children are threatened, their children are unsafe, and at that point a lot of people will just cease to care about the consequences of their actions. In a context in which it is very easy, I think the prisons are already full of people, they're overwhelmed with people because of incompetence and letting too many people into the country. And you can see how it will get to a point where the government's hands are tied. They can't do anything. There is so much protest. They can only arrest and jail so many people. There is not room for them. More will come, more will come, more will come. People will feel emboldened by the fact that other people feel emboldened. People will feel emboldened by speaking to people down the pubs, in the corners, you know, away from the barmaids, in case they get reported under some crime now that it is to express opinions in a pub. And then, sorry, I forgot to mention, in addition to that, while I was away, you have the online safety bill. And what is the online safety bill? What is the online safety bill? It is a manipulative excuse to suppress political dissent, to suppress videos which might express or incite political dissent, like everything the left do. Manipulative. Hope, not hate. We call it hope, not hate, so and we're anti-racist. You can't disagree with that. But in reality, of course, our purpose is to suppress free speech, to suppress free discussion, and to destroy those who criticise the extreme left in any way. And online safety bill, what a manipulative title. But who can object to that? Who can object to online safety? Who can object to a situation where children are not exposed to pornography or whatever? Who can object to that? But of course, the reality is the bill will mean that it is very expensive for a lot of websites to come up with a way to allow people to sign in and so on. And so those websites will simply be suppressed. It's basically in the interests of Pornhub and the big porn websites, because it will suppress, it will block from England all the other competitors. But worse than that, it means that anything that might be considered unsafe had better be blocked. And so then you block political protest, and you block things the government doesn't like, and you block people expressing opinions they don't like, because those might be considered unsafe. And that is part of the bill. It is part of the bill that political views, certain political views, are unsafe and children must not be exposed to them. So actually, it's just an excuse. It's nothing to do with protecting children from sexual abuse or whatever. If the government cared about that, they'd alter their policies to stop allowing people that might commit sexual abuse to come into the country. That's what they do, but they don't do that. No, they don't do that. So they don't care about that. What it's about is via very manipulative means, suppressing political opposition. And all this has come together in the week I've been in Montenegro. I don't mean to get into post hoc ergo prompt hoc reasoning, but I dread to think what's going to happen when I go away for a week next time. But anyway, I do think things are shifting. I think things are snowballing or firestorming, as it were. And once they do that, a line is crossed. And once you get from fire to firestorm, a line is crossed, and then things can get very interesting. I hope you all have a whizzy jolly time, and goodbye.
Are you ready for the future of the West?